Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Kuf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the top line of Daf Kuf Dalid. During our previous shiur, we started a discussion featuring the demise of Reb Yehuda Hanossi. We continue with that discussion. On this side, we have a mivne, a structural note, a geometric form looking like a volcano. A trapezoid is featured. They are Ktoim Hakshurim L'Yoyim Achron Shel Rebbe. Sections that are dedicated to different aspects of that last day of Rebbe. Immediately speaking, we see under the Nosei, the topic heading, Amsei de Rebbe, the bondmaid of Rebbe, V'Hashinui B'Tfiloseha, and how her prayers took a turn, there was a change in her prayers with regard to Rebbe's welfare. And a second point, Gozru Shlo Lomar Mace Rebbe. There was a gzera made, a rule was issued not to verbalize that Rebbe has died. V'eich Noag Bar Kapora. We'll see in the Gemara, Bar Kapora is asked to check in on Rebbe, and he notices that Rebbe has died, how he conducts himself. Bar Kapora. Now the Gemara, top line, Hahu Yoma Denoch Nafshe de Rebbe, the day that Rebbe was to die, Gozu Rabbonon Tanisa. The rabbis imposed a fast in order to, of course, to seek heavenly favor and to spare Rebbe of imminent death. Ubo Rachami, they also daven, they prayed, the Amri, and they said, Kol man de Omar noch nafshe de Rebbe, anyone who says Rebbe died, yidokir b'cherev, shall be pierced by the sword, shall be impaled on a sword. Sliko amsei de Rebbe le'igra, the bondmaid of Rebbe. She's a famous character throughout the Shas. We see numerous references to this particular woman. She went up to a roof, the Omra, and she proclaimed, called out, Elyonim Vakshimus Rebbe, Vatachtonim Vakshimus Rebbe. The uppers, the heavens, are seeking Rebbe, and we here in this world, in the lower world, are seeking Rebbe. He wrote, Son, Shiachufu Tachtonim Esayonim. It should be the will that the lower ones subdue the upper ones. In other words, we should keep Rebbe here. Keva de Chazoi, Kamozimni, Da'ayil de Beisakise, the cholatz tefillin umonach lehu the komitz dayer. She saw, and we made reference to this in our previous year about tzaddikim suffering from stomach ailments prior to their death. Rebbe suffered from that, and a person who needs to relieve himself must remove the tefillin that he is wearing, and the practice of Rebbe was to wear tefillin all day, and in the course of the day he needed to relieve himself many times, so that imposed upon him a difficulty, and she saw the great difficulty that this presented to him. So she saw that Omra, and then she changed her prayers and said, Yirotzon Shiachuf Elyonim Esatachtonim. This Gemara actually is one source that that is brought to the fore when people, lo aleinu, heaven forbid, suffer from gravely ill, painful medical situations. And the question is raised, can one pray for their death to spare them of their pain and suffering? Here you see the bondmaid of Rebbe prayed that the the uppers, the heavens, should subdue the lowers and win out. And take Rebbe, the lo havu shaski rabbonim milvi rachmi. And all this time, the rabbis were praying, and they didn't stop. They didn't pause for a moment in their prayers. And she knew that as long as they are praying, that prevented Rebbe from dying. Shoklukuza, she took some type of vessel, shadya meigra la'ara, and she cast it groundwards, and it made a noise upon impact. Ishtiku merachmi, and it immediately surprised them, and they stopped momentarily from their praying. V'nochnav shei the Rebbe, and Rebbe died. Omru lei rabbonon lebar kapora zil ayin. They rabbonon turned to bar kapora, says, go in and check him out. Check out what's the situation. Ozal, he went. Ashkechei de nochnav shei. Bar kapora went in and found that Rebbe had died. Kare luvushe. Bar Kapora tore his garment, the ahadre lekare lachore, the tearing of one's garment, in the case of the death of one's close rabbi or gadol hador, is an obligation. So he did that. He tore his garment and turned it in such a way that the tear was in back. Posach the Omar, Bar Kapora came out and said, our Elim and Mitzukim Ochsu Baron HaKadosh. Our Elim are the angels. Mitzukim are the pious. Held the holy ark. Nitzchu our Elim es haMitzukim v'nishba Aron HaKadosh. The angels won out over the righteous, were both vying for possession of the holy ark, and the holy ark has been taken captive. Omrulei noch nafshe. They asked Bar Kapora, did Rebbe die? Omar Luhu, Atun Kwamrisu, Vanolo Kwamina, you said it, not me. Bishas Ptiroso Shel Rebbe. As Rebbe was about to die, the expression before was the day of Rebbe's death. Here it's as Rebbe was about to die, Zokav Ezer as voice of Klapi Malo, he raised his 10 fingers heavenwards. And we should point out, before going any further, Rebbe Yehuda Nosi was a fantastically wealthy individual. He was considered the wealthiest man of his time, along with the Roman emperor. So that tells you what kind of wealth we're dealing with. Rebbe, at the time of his death, he raised his 10 fingers heavenwards. Omar Ribbono Shel Olam Golu V'Yodua Lifonecha, Master of the World, it is known and revealed to you. Shiogati Besras Bosai Betura, I used my 10 fingers to labor in Torah study. V'lo Ne'anesia Fil Besvikatana, and I didn't experience any, physical pleasure, we'll say for pleasure's sake, even a small finger's worth of pleasure. It should be your will that there should be peace in my parting. Yotza Basko V'yomra, a heavenly voice came and announced, Yavoi Shalom Yonuchu Al Mishkevoisam. Come in peace. And then the pasuk uses a plural form that, and then they shall slumber, so rest on their beds. Al Mishkovcha Midboyalei, this heavenly voice should have said, it was addressing Rebbe, it should have said, come in peace and sleep on your bed, the heavenly bed. Why the plural form? Misayalei the Rebchia Bar Gamda. This plural form supports Rebchia's teaching. The Omer Rebchia Bar Gamda Omer Rebbe Yosi Ben Shaul, B'shoh Shatzadik Nifta Min Olam, when the righteous departs from this world, Oimrim Malach Yashur Yisrael Kodesh Baruch Hu, the surface angels say to the Almighty, Ribbono Shel Olam, Tzadik Ploni Ba, so and so righteous man is coming. Omer Lohem, Yavo Tzadikim V'yetzu L'krosoi. So the Almighty then orders that the other righteous in heaven should come and greet this righteous one that's coming. The Omrim Lo, and they say, Yavo B'Shalom, come in peace. And then afterwards, Yonuchu Al Mishkevoisam, and then they, all of those righteous that came to greet this one, shall then go to their place of resting. So that's the reason for the plural form. There's a Tosfos here that has a word of Musar on the second Tosfos from the top, but it's a very significant piece of Musar, of instruction. Lo nenesi afilu be'etzva ketana damrina be'medrash, quotes the midrashic source. At sheodem espal shikones Torah l'soch gufo, before a person prays that Torah should enter his body, yispalo shelo yikonsu madonim l'soch gufo. He should pray that he should not become, there should not enter his body all kinds of extras, of dainties, of things that are not necessary for a person's subsistence. There's food that a person needs to eat in order to subsist, and then there's everything beyond that, that one, let's say, eats for simple, pleasurable purposes. So the Tosfos is reporting the Medrash, and that's what we see. And Umaisi Ha Uvda the Rebbe, and the Medrash quotes this story with Rebbe, that Rebbe, though he had every opportunity in the world to experience a luxurious existence with all kinds of extras, even a small finger's worth, he did not partake of. We continue in the Gemara, first by looking at on the side, the Nosei Mivneh heading. We see a new geometric form, a house form, highlighting the word Bisha'a, Divrei Hamalochim Bishas Misosim Shel Tzadikim and Rishoyim, the words of the angels at the time of the death of the pious and at the time of the death of the wicked. Amar Rebbe Lozer, Bishah Shehat Tzadik Niftar Me'olam, at the time that a righteous, pious person dies from, leaves this world, Sholosh Kitas Shemalachi Ashoris Yotzus across the three groups of service angels. The term Shoris, you can see we've dashed, underlined. This is, we want to contrast this with a word later on. The three groups of service angels come forth to greet the pious that's departing. Achas Emeres Lo Bo B'Shalom. One says, come in peace. V'achas Emeres Holech Nichecho. He walked or walk in a straight fashion, straight form. V'achas Emeres Lo Yavo Shalom Yonuchu Al Mishkevoisom. And the third group says, that which we saw above, that they announce, come in peace. And then the instruction to all the righteous that came to greet him to go lie in their respective locations there in the heavenly world. Bishal shal rosha nevad min ha'olam, at the time that the wicked is destroyed from this world. Sholosh kitas shemalchei chabalu yotzus, across the three groups of attack angels, destructive angels come forth. Achas omeres ein shalom omar Hashem l'rishoyim. There shall be no peace, says Hashem, for the wicked. V'achas omeres lo, and the other group says, l'matzeva tishkevun, he shall lie down in sorrow, and v'achas omeres lo, redov hashkeva es arelim. And the other group says, go down and lie with the uncircumcised. So, as one can see, the Gemara gives a very... it's a very definitive, a very clear picture, a clear, insofar as what we can say on the topic, regarding the death of the righteous versus the death of the wicked. It's not for us to necessarily point fingers and say this person is righteous and this person is wicked, because one really doesn't know the truth about any given individual. But as far as on a personal level, a personal accounting, this is what awaits each and one of every one of us after our passing from this world, and it gives pause to make decisions of what kind of life, what life choices one ought to make. There is an accounting at the end, and I dare say, even for the biggest skeptic in the world, to prove he cannot prove otherwise. So it's important to bear this in mind and make the, we'll say, the right choice accordingly. The Mishnah, Kolzman Shehi Bevesovia. We've used a double underline to highlight the different possible locations of an almona. You can see that we've highlighted she's either Bevesovia in or she's gone back to her father's house, or she is Beves Baila, she remains in her husband's house. The Mishnah will deal with the length of time, or is there any deadline by which she must try to collect her ksuba, beyond which she cannot collect it anymore. So the Mishnah says, Kolzman Shehi Beves Avia, as long as the almona, the widow, has gone back to her father's house, and the yorshim, the heirs, are supplying her with food over there, goyve ksubasa le'olam. She's entitled to seek out her ksuba, to receive the ksuba payment without any deadline. Kolzman she beves by law, as long as she continues living in her husband's house, goyve ksubasa ad esrim v'chomesh shanim. She has up to 25 years to collect it. Sheyesh b'chomesh shanim, shetase toiva keneged ksubasa divrei Rabbi Meir, shomar mishum Rabbi Shumam Liel. This 25-year time frame or deadline is based on the calculation that over the course of 25 years, she's going to be using the property of the assignment and let us say giving out to her friends, to neighbors, bread and salt to her neighbors. So over the course of 25 years, that would amount to the value of her ksuba. So she's like, she is in effect spending their estate, adding up to this amount after 25 years, the amount of her ksuba to begin with. The Gemara will raise the question, as far as this sheet is concerned, the mayor and the neighbor of Shumam Liel, that's true, then at the end of 25 years, the entire ksuba amount has been spent by her. So she's not entitled to anything. What about after a fraction of the time? Is it prorated? Or is it all or nothing? That prior to 25 years, even though she's been giving her friends and neighbors bread and salt from the heir's estate, she's still entitled to everything? And just if at the 25-year mark she loses everything, or as we said, is it prorated that we subtract an annual amount corresponding to the each year representing 1/25th of the ksuba amount? The Gemara, the Mishnah continues, v'chachamim omrim kol zman she beveis baila, as long as she is in her husband's house. And this is the contrast between the Tanakama and the Chachamim, that this the oilam, undefined, unlimited time is for the Chachamim when she is dwelling by the husband's house. The Tanakama said the unlimited time frame is when she's in her father's house. Kolzman shehi beveisavia, and the opposite also here. As long as she's in her father's house, goyvik sibosa ad esrim v'chomesh shanim, she has up till 25 years to collect. In the Rashi, the upper part of the narrow lines, v'chachomim omrim lo huskru esrim v'chomesh leinyan hatoyva shetase, the 25 years, as far as the chachomim is concerned, is not equated with the expenses that she expends from their inheritance, in contrast to the Tanakama who did. Velo afsidua rabbanan ksuba, the rabbanan, though she was using their estate for the needs we mentioned before, for the neighbors, that does not cause her to lose any ksuba. Ukshuskru esu chamesh, the mention of 25 years, as far as the chachamim are concerned, linyan hamachilo huskru, has to do with her foregoing. Tehayel v'shoskav lo tova kol hashanim alalu mochlosa. That as long as 25 years have gone by and she remained quiet, it's a sign that she has forgiven or forfeited her ksuba. Hilka Kozman she beveis by law. Therefore, as long as she's in her husband's house, her silence is not a function of her forfeiting the ksuba. Since they're honoring her, they're hosting her and honoring her, she's embarrassed to ask for the ksuba, which in effect is asking for payment from their estate. But when she's not being serviced by them, when she's not being honored by them, she lives afar, she lives in her father's house. There, the silence for 25 years is understood to be her mechila, her forfeiting, the ksuba. The Mishnah concludes, Mesa, if the woman dies and did not collect the ksuba, Yersho maskirin ksubasa ad esrim v'chameshanim. Her heirs can seek out the ksuba payment for 25 years. As we turn to the Gemara, we see a new geometric form. We see a crown shape. They represent shtei she'elois b'signon tamiha, two questions with a tone of wonderment. Shel Abaye, Abaye is wondering al ha'ne'emar b'mishnah, regarding points that were mentioned in the Mishnah. So now the first question. Amar le Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Regarding the Tanakama's reference to 25 years, and as we explained, over the course of 25 years, she will have spent from their estate the value of her ksuba. Now, is that true across the board? Says, asks Abaye, Aniya Shib Yisrael ad esrim v'chamei shanim, umarta baspaisis ad esrim v'chamei shanim. Does the same apply to a poor woman that we assign 25 years, and to Marta Bas Baisus, who was a very wealthy heiress, also 25 years? It would seem that the heiress would have a very large ksuba. So how could it be that in 25 years she would be spending so much as we would say with a poor woman, as a very small ksuba, that within 25 years, of course, she would pay out or buy things from their properties amounting to her ksuba. So Omar Lehi, so Rav Yosef answers Abaye, that is in fact the case. And he uses a saying, Lefum Gamla Shichna. Literally, according to the size of the camel is the amount of burden it can bear. And what that means for us, Rashi says, Hamasui Lefi Agomol, the burden is according to the camel's size, Afkan Lefi Oshra Tobasa. A woman who has great wealth, she also has the ability to spend, in terms of the woman who is let's say was married to a very wealthy man, and there's a lot of wealth in that estate. And we mentioned before that she was an heiress. That maybe that's not the best description of her, but she was married to a very wealthy man, and she's living in a very opulent estate. Hence, the chances of her doing favors for the neighbors also is very great. In other words, each portion of food or each loaf of bread that she gives to her neighbors is quite a bit more expensive than the loaf of bread, just to keep the analogy from the previous Gemara going, the much more expensive bread than the poor woman would be giving to her neighbors. So it's all prorated. It's all consistent that within 25 years, yes, the poor woman and the rich woman will be doing favors that amount to the value of their ksubos respectively. Ibayaloho, the question is raised, the Rebbe Meir, Maushetishalesh. We raised this issue before. We say that after a full 25 years, so she's spent the value of her entire ksuba. And hence, after 25 years, if she didn't put a claim in for the ksuba, she loses the whole ksuba, having spent that amount. And what about a fraction of the time? Let's say after half the time, do we say that she's done favors amounting to half her ksuba, and therefore she's entitled, if she puts a request in there, only for half the amount? Teku, that remains unresolved. V'chachomim omrim kol zman omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Again, Rav Abaye raises a question with a tone of wonderment. The we saw the 25-year mark comes. If she claimed the ksuba beforehand, she would get the whole ksuba. And if the 25, and if afterwards, if the after that 25-year mark lapses, she gets nothing. So he Abaye asks, if she comes a moment before the sunset of the at the end of the 25th year, so she gets the ksuba. And right after sunset, she loses the whole thing. Are you going to say that with that small amount of time, we're going within the sheet of the Chachamim? The Chachamim spoke about the 25-year mark as being a sign of mechila. Is it reasonable to say that just a moment before the end of the 25th year, she was still interested in getting the ksuba, and a moment after the sun, oh, then she decides at that moment to forfeit her ksuba? Omar Le'in, Rav Yosef says yes. Kol midas chachomim kein hi. When the chachomim establish measures, whatever it is, if it's measures of time or measures of other things, that is how things work. Things are exact. Barboim saw toivel. If there is a mikveh pool containing 40 saw of water, it will purify he who has been defiled. Barboim saw chaser kurtav ein yochalit bol behen. If their mikveh pool is almost 40 saw, it's just missing a kurtav, a small amount, it's not suitable for purifying. So we see that in all areas of halacha, we have to establish a cutoff point. And that's the same with regard to the 25-year cutoff point. Before we go further, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Machlikis Rav Reb Elazar, Im Hadin Shel Ad Chofei Shana Gevik Subasa, these two Amoroim, Rav and Reb Elazar, were arguing regarding this halacha of up till 25 years she can collect her ksuba, have a rak in ksubasa biyada, does this apply only if she's holding the ksuba, or if it's not in her hands? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Heyed Rabbi Shmuel Brabiosi Lifnei Rabbi Shomar Mishum Oviv. So Rabbi Shmuel says in the name of his father Rabbi Yossi, Lo shanu, the idea of 25 years as a deadline, elo she'en shtar ksuba yoytze mitachas yoda, where she doesn't have the actual document, the shtar ksuba, in her possession. Avol shtar ksuba yoytze mitachas yoda, if she has the shtar ksuba in her hands, then goyvek subasa liolam, she has a right to collect it unlimited time wise. Rabbi Elazar Omar afilu shtar ksuba yotze mitachas yoda, even if she's holding on to the actual ksuba document, ein goyvek ela ad esrim v'chamesh shanim, she has the 25-year limit. A new marking appears, a triangle, and under the mivne heading, these triangles introduce kushos al rav. Rav is the shita here that said that when you have the actual document in hand, your time is unlimited. The woman's time to collect the ksuba is unbound. She's not limited to 25 years. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes quotes a Tanaic source that says, Balchov Geve Sheloi Behazkora. A Balchov, person that has a debt to collect, he's a creditor collecting his debt, he collects shelo bazkora, which means that if he kept quiet for 25 years and didn't protest, didn't issue a concern about his debt, he doesn't lose because of his silence. So now we continue in anticipation of the Gemara drawing an inference from this source. The Balchov, we said, does not lose through the debtor's silence. he doesn't lose his chance to collect. What are the circumstances? If the creditor doesn't have his bill of collection, doesn't have the document, but my govi, through what instrument is he collecting in the first place? It must be that he's holding on to a shtar. And now we infer, a creditor, someone who was nice and lent money, there's no reason for him to forfeit his loan, forfeit collection of his loan. He's not bar achuli, achuli loshen mechila, forfeiting or foregoing. Ho almana achilta, but a widow who was benefiting from the heirs over all of these years, the ksuba itself is not. It's a form of collection, but she didn't lay out money in the past. She didn't lose any money in the past that we should respect her right to collect. So we see from here that a Baal Chov, he laid out money. He lost money, so to speak, in laying out money for the loan, and he didn't receive any benefit from the debtor over the years, so he doesn't forfeit. But an almana, where those elements are the opposite, she did benefit from them over all these years. She didn't experience any loss to begin with. So after 25 years, even with a shtar, and here we're emphasizing there is a shtar, she will lose out. She will be forfeiting. That's a kashan rav. Rav said that if she's holding on to the shtar, so she has an unlimited time frame within to collect. So who moisiv law, who mefarik law? Rav Sheshes raised the question. Rav Sheshes himself answers the question. This is a question that was asked on Shitas Rav. He answers, La'olam delo nokit shtara. As far as the Baal Chov is concerned, there was no shtar. Now, if you'll ask, if there was no shtar, so what instrument is he able to demand payment of his loan? So about a case where the debtor admits, yes, I borrowed money, I owe this man money. So that doesn't, so as far as the source is concerned, the Baal Chov source, it's not dealing with a shtar case. So there's nothing to infer regarding an almana with a shtar. So Rav remains intact. Question, V'amar Rav Yilah, Shonin. Shonin is a word meaning that we learn in a Brisa. The Bale Brisa teach. Grusha hare hi kebal chov. A divorcee is like a creditor. Hey chi domi, what does that mean? What are we talking about? Idalo nikita ksuba. If the grusha, the divorcee, doesn't have a ksuba document, but my gavya, through what is she trying to collect her ksuba? Elo lavda nikita ksuba. She is holding on to a document. Ugrusha hi dalav basahulihi. A divorcee, this is a woman that was thrown out of the marriage. She's not someone that you would expect to have any grounds for wanting to forgive on the ksuba debt. Ha amona achilta, but we can infer that amona was receiving favors over the years from the heirs. She would forego. So what do we see? We see mechila on a ksuba where the ksuba document is present. That's against Rav. The Gemara responds, hocha nami kishechayev moda. Here too, the grusha, she doesn't have a ksuba document. However, the former husband is admitting, I didn't pay the ksuba. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Tony Rav Yuda bar Koza b'masnisa debay bar Koza. Rav Nachman tells us that Rav Yuda taught the following Tanaic source, Tov'a ksubasa. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, Hare hi kebatchila. When a woman puts a claim in for the ksuba, it starts the clock all over again. The im hoya shtar ksuba yoitza mitachas yodeha goivik ksubasa li'olam. This sounds very much like what we saw in the name of Rav just before, that if she has a shtar ksuba in her possession, so then she is not limited in terms of time in which to collect the ksuba. Sholach le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda nor Rav Nachman bar Yankiv Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. If two rabbis with the same first name, Rav Nachman, so we have one is the son of Rav Chista, and he's posing a question to the other Rav Nachman. Can you please teach us? Kishishtark suba yoitza mitachas yoda machloikes, oi kishain shtark suba yoitza mitachas yoda. The question regards the machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim that we saw in our Mishnah. They spoke about there is a 25-year time limit, and they argued as to under what circumstances is there this time limit. But nevertheless, they both agree to the concept of a time limit. So is their argument in a situation when even if she has the ksuba document, or only if she doesn't have the ksuba document? And how should we rule? Sholach le, so Rav Nachman bar Yankiv responds, regarding the first issue, b'she'ein shtag ksuba yoytze mitachas yodo machlokes. Their machlokes regarding a time limitation is only if she's trying to collect without actual possession of the document. Avol shtag ksuba yoytze mitachas yodo, if she's in possession of the document, goyve ksubasu li'olam. And that, by the way, is reminiscent once again of Rav at the end of Omer Aleph. V'halocha k'divrei chachomim. And as far as the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim, where does the 25-year time limitation apply? So we will rule like the Chachomim. And that would exist, that 25-year limitation is based on the Mechila concept. And that is true only while she's in the Mechila, being her silence is interpreted as Mechila. That's when she's Beves Aviha. We continue in the Gemara. Ki also Rav Dimi. Before we continue with the text, though, we should glance at the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll see a double underline, which highlights Machloikis im din chofei shana demochlo sheikh rak al mona mosayim o gam al hatoisefes mocheles. We speak about the woman after 25 years forfeiting, foregoing the ksuba. This was the concept we saw within the Shitas Chachomim. Does that mechila affect the basic ksuba alone, or does it cover the tosefes? Tosefes is the extra amount a husband would assign, would write over to his wife upon their initial marriage. Now she's an almona, and been an almona now for many years, 25 years. Does she forego the tosefes as well with her silence? We can return to the Gemara text. Ki also Rav Dimi Omer Rav Shimon Pazi Omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapora Lo Shonu, the 25 years constitutes a forfeiture, a foregoing of her ksuba, elo mono mosayim. That's only with regard to the basic ksuba that every man must provide his wife. 100 zuz if it's a widow marriage, or 200 zuz if it's a virgin marriage. Avol, tosefes yesh law. The tosefes is a gift. It's a gift that the husband is bequeathing to his wife in the case that she becomes a widow. It's not considered the ksuba. For Rabbi Avo, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, afilu tosefes ein law. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the forfeiture covers the tosefes as well. The Omar Rabbi Ivo, I'm Rabbi Yanai, tnai ksuba kiksuba domi. Those extra clauses that are written into the ksuba are like the basic ksuba as well. Itmar nami, and here it says, it's stated also, when you see nami, it can often be tricky. One thinks it's just a continuation of what was said immediately before. Not so. In this case, it was stated also like bar kapora. It marnami om Rabbi Abba, om Rav Huna, om Rav, lo shanu elo, mona mosayim. Avot Tosefes yesh la. And we didn't point out earlier, but this diamond helps you to connect the two shitas. The idea that the 25-year mechila, the 25-year forfeiture is applicable only to the basic suba, but not to the additional amount. Omar le Rabbi Abba le Rav Huna. Rabbi Abba asks Rav Huna, Omar Rav Hochi, did Rav say that? So here you have Rabbi Abba wondering, did Rav really make this distinction? Omar le Rav Huna now turns to Rabbi Abba, questioning his expression of wonderment. Rav Huna says, why are you so like all excited? Is shtikun kamris or ashkun kamris? Are you in a state of wonderment in an attempt to silence? Meaning, would Rav really have said that? That's absolutely wrong. He shouldn't have said that. That's ishtikon. Ishtikon, like shosak, to keep quiet. Is Rabbi Abba, are you attempting to silence that halacha? Or ashkion. Ashkion, where lashkot is to give to drink. For many of you, you might be familiar with the common parlance. Let's have a lachayim. Let's drink to it. In English, people say that as well. Let's drink to it. In other words, it's an expression of joy that you're so, are you so overcome with joy concerning this point that I said in the name of Rav, that you want to have a cup of wine in celebration? Amale, Rabbi Abba says, "Ishtikun kamino." No, I'm not celebrating that. I can't believe it. I think that should not be the way. That there should be no distinction. After 25 years, there's mechila on the Tosefos as well. Omar, we continue in the Gemara. We should point out, though, before we continue, that we have a story here. It's a very long maisa. You can see that we've marked it off accordingly. On the side, we have a topic heading. Ach sheyorash ach, in this case, is Rebbe Fia's a brother, sheyorash nichsei ochiv, who inherited the estate of his brother. Brother died leaving no children, there's no father, so the next in line of inheritance is a brother. Vizonis ha'amona v'meshech chofei shonim v'mesirus nefesh. And we see that Rebbe Fia is supporting, or I should say, he's supporting. He's the Amona, the widow who is entitled to mizonos as part of the estate. So Reb Chiya, being the heir of the estate, he's supporting her for 25 years with self sacrifice. Kishavru chafei shonim, he tava ksubas. At the end of 25 years, the Amona seeks her ksuba. Number one, ha'ima gilo ksuba. Does she have a ksuba coming to her? And number two, ma din adrachta shenichtava shelo kadin. An adrachta is a special court document that enables a creditor to descend upon properties of the debtor. In general, you might have someone that extended a loan. He's a lender, and the lender hasn't paid up. And he may have defaulted on the loan, but after the initial loan was taken, he sold properties to purchasers, and the creditor has a lien on their properties. The court, in such an event where the debtor himself isn't paying up the loan, the court writes a special document called an adrachta, which entitles the creditor to seize upon the purchasers. What is the law if that document was written but inaccurately? And we'll have to see what the inaccuracy is later in the Gemara. Another detail before we get into the Gemara text is just the Gemara brings it to our attention, so let's be aware of the family situation. Very simply put, Rabbi Chiya's brother had married Rabbi Chiya's mother-in-law. So in order to appreciate that, you can see we have a little diagram on the side. There is there's a woman we call Isha. She had been married to a man, that you see on this chart we have a number one, that indicates that the isha married a man. We call them ish. In their marriage, they produced a daughter. That's Bas, and she's called stage two of this story. Now that woman who had been married to her husband, the husband died. That's stage three. Stage four, that woman who was a widow, she married Reb Chiya's brother. We didn't point out, though, that at stage two, when we described the woman having a daughter, that daughter went and married Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya is married to the woman's daughter. That, now, Rabbi Chiya's wife's mother, as you can see, is married to Rabbi Chiya's brother. So the widow in this particular story is no less than Rabbi Chiya's own mother-in-law. Now the Gemara. Chamsei de Rabbi Chiya Aricha, the mother-in-law of this gentleman, Rabbi Chiya Aricha, intas achva havoi. She was the wife of Rabbi Chiya's brother. Now Rabbi Chiya's brother, he dies without children. As a result, Rabbi Chiya inherits his brother. The almona beves avio havoi. And Rabbi Chiya's mother-in-law is, at the same time, she is a widow, and she chose to live in her father's house. Salamona Bevesovia. So she's not living with Rabbi Chiya and her daughter, namely Rabbi Chiya's wife, but rather she went to her father's house. Vizona Esrim Chomishon Bebe Noshen. Rabbi Chiya provided mizonos to her, to the almona, for 25 years, Bebe Noshen, while she was in her father's house. L'soif omrole havli mazoni. After 25 years, she says, I want you to give me mazonos. Omar lo, les loch mazoni. He says, you don't have any more mazonos coming to you. Havli ksuba, so then pay me my ksuba. Omar lo, lo mazoni islach, velo ksuba islach. You don't have mizonos, nor do you have ksuba. And Rashi points out, lo ksuba v'lo mizoni, dalmona b'veisovia, eina goiva elo ad chof heishonen kerabonan. And almona, when she's living in her father's house, she has only up till 25 years to collect, and here she's gone beyond that mark. Tavase ledino kamei deraba bar shilo. She summoned Rabbi Chiya Aricha to a case, a court appearance in front of Rabbi Bar Shilo. Omar Le, Rabbi asks Rabbi Chiya, Emo li izi gufa duvda hechi havi. Tell me in detail what happened. Omar Le, Rabbi Chiya says, Zanisa esim b'chameshonim b'bei nosha. I was supporting her for 25 years in her father's house. B'chaye damar, it's an expression, it's by your life. The bekaspoi amtoi lo. I carried her support, her food, on my shoulder every day for 25 years. and 25 years have gone by, and she hasn't asked for her ksuba till now. Omar le, Rabbo Bar Shilo responds. Notice we have a long marking. Takes a few lines for him to develop the idea. Rabbi Bar Shilo says, you're citing this 25-year business. Taimo mayom Rabbonon kozman shibaveis baylo gevik sosu leolam. Why did the Rabbonon say that as long as she's in her husband's house, she has an unlimited time frame in which to collect? Why is it that in the father's house, so we speak about a limited time frame, but when she's in her husband's house, we speak about an unlimited time? Why is that? Diamrina, because we figure mishum kisufa hu delo tava. It's out of embarrassment that she doesn't seek payment. She's living with them in their house, and they're honoring her. So she's embarrassed. So many years can go. But it doesn't indicate that she's forfeiting her ksuba rights. It's just embarrassment that is the cause of her silence. Well, Hachanami, in your case also, it's true. She's not in the husband's house. She's went back to her father's house. But Hachanami, the same principle applies. Mishum kisufuhu delo tova. It's out of embarrassment to seek from you the ksuba payment after all the honor you have been showing her. So it's because of her embarrassment that she didn't put a claim in for it. And it's not to be interpreted as forfeiture. Zil havlo, you have to pay her. Lo ashkach. So it's amazing. Rabbi Chiya Aricha, he just heard a psak din, and he didn't pay attention. No, I'm not paying. Well, how do we deal with recalcitrant individuals? Kosav lo adrachto anichsei. Rabbi Bar Shilo prepared an adrachto document. It's a psak din. It's a legal ruling enabling the almana to collect from Rav Chiya's properties wherever they may be. If he doesn't have properties and he sold them, she can go to the purchasers. Also, lekamei de Rava. Rav Chiya comes with his complaint to Rava. Amale, chazimar hechi denon. Do you see how they're judging me? Amale shab yadanoch. Rava says, sorry, the Rabba Bar Shila judged you properly. So you basically have to pay. Omra lay. Now we have triangles on the side. We indicate that these are a makav, an attempt to keep track of quite a rigorous back and forth discussion. The point facing up represents Divrei Halmona, it's the widow's claims, and the inverted triangle is Rava's responses. So the widow says, oh, so that I'm in the right. Omra le, she says to Rava, Yehachi lezel lahadu li piri de minahu yuma ad ha'itna. Well, if that's the case, then I want all, if that's the case, namely that I'm entitled to payment. I'm entitled to collect property from Rabbi Chiya Aricha, then and he didn't pay me, and there's a time lapse here. Then I and you're telling me that I'm in the right, so I want to collect all the payros, all the fruits. Rashi says on the upper part of the narrow lines, lahadili piri da aro de shiur ksubasoi de ochal miyoma dechtiva li adrachto alayhu shemeosayom hein birshusi. There was a parcel of land concerning which an adrachta was prepared, namely, I'm entitled to a piece of land that corresponds to the value of my ksuba, and there was fruit produced from that piece of land, whatever it measured, but it's a piece of land that was the value of the ksuba, and that land was producing fruits. I want all the fruits that he was eating from the day that the adrachta was prepared. Because from that day that the adrachta was prepared, that land was in my possession. It's considered mine. So Omar Law Rava says to the woman, says to the almona, Achvi li adrachtech, show me your adrachta. Now that adrachta, once again, is the document that would entitle her to be the owner of that said property that was owned by Rav Chiya Aricha, equal to the value of her ksuba. So she was asked now, show me your adrachta. Do you remember who wrote the adrachta? It was Rabbi Bar Shilo wrote the adrachta when Rav Chiya Aricha didn't listen to his psak, didn't listen to his ruling. So show it to me. Chazya, Rava noticed the lohave kosuv ba. There was a clause or a phrase that was missing in the adrachta. And what phrase was missing? Now, once again, the adrachta is a document that entitles the receiver of it, in this case, the almana, to seize upon properties. And which properties? properties that were inherited by Reb Chiya Aricha, properties that were her husband's, were part of her husband's estate. So he notices, Rava notices that in this adrachta, the following clause was missing. It says, "V'ishtemodano dinechosim elu demisna inun." That we, the court, ishtemodano, the root of that word is the word da, knowledge. It became known to us that these properties that we're assigning to the woman were properties that had been previously owned by the deceased. It would be appropriate to say that it's obvious, it goes without saying, that Reb Chiya Aricha himself, from his own out-of-pocket costs, is not obligated to pay for this almana. It's his brother's almana, so her payments, the money's due to her, are coming from his estate. So, and if you want to assign a property to her, the property that Reb Chiya Aricha himself didn't want to give her, he didn't want to pay her the ksuba, and therefore he's putting his properties, he's putting properties then at risk to seizure, her seizure. So it should at least be properties that were owned by his brother. And in the Adrachta, an indication that the properties that were assigned to her were her husband's properties, namely Reb Chiya Aricha's brother's properties, that is clause wasn't noted, that we, the court, are aware that the properties were the deceased's. Omar law, so Rava continues, Adrachta lav shapir ksiva, you know, the Adrachta that you're holding is not written accurately. Because the Adrachta that you're holding indicates that you would be entitled to seize Reb Chiya's properties as well. But Reb Chiya's own properties are not bound to your ksuba requirements. So the lady, the almona, says, Tezo Adrachta. Okay, let's forget the Adrachta. It wasn't written properly. At least let me be entitled to the peros, the fruits, from the Yom Achrozosa. That's a situation where a woman is entitled, or someone's entitled to receive a given property. The property is then put up for sale to get the highest bid, and there's a certain amount of time that's assigned for the bidding, for the, that's called the Yom Achrozosa. We've seen this in previous Gemaras, 30 days or 60 days. That time period finished. So from that time period onwards, I'm entitled either to the property or to cash, the cash value of the property. So I want the fruits from the end of that auction period, or the public offering period. Omar law. So Rava says, Hani Mili, this idea that you're entitled to the fruits from the property from the end of the Achrozah period, that's where no mistake was found in the Adrachta. But if a mistake was written into the original Adrachta document, you are not entitled to any back payment of fruits. You're entitled to benefit from the property only from the point and time that you actually gain possession of it. But you, Rava, are famous for having said that a contractual agreement in which a guarantee was deleted, was left out, is a matter of a mere scribe's error. In other words, if you have, let us say, a sale of a piece of property, and the seller pays good cash for the property, you would imagine that he wants a guarantee. What happens if you have a deed the buyer of property would expect to have a guarantee. Let's say the title deed that the buyer receives doesn't have the guarantee written in. Rava's opinion is, even though it's not written in, it's understood. So you ask, why was it missing? That was a simple oversight. It's something that a scribe might overlook. It's an oversight on the scribe's part. It's not, let's say, a deliberate deletion. So by the same token, yeah, mistakes, but the mistakes are just described to a scribe's error. It's not something that's catastrophic. So why are you, she says, she's apparently a learned woman, why is it then that you're placing so much weight on the fact that the Adrachta didn't have a certain phrase in it? Omar Lo Rava. Rava answers. It's a long answer. He says, in this particular case, Baha, it's not accurate to say that some type of just minor scribe's oversight. The Baha, in this particular case, Afilu Rabba Bar Shilo Ta'i. Rabba Bar Shilo himself seemed to have been in error, seemed to have made a mistake. As opposed to what we call a toy sofer, which is something that, you know, it's a case that everyone knows about. Everyone knows that a person wouldn't write a bill of sale without putting a guarantee into it. And if you see it missing, it's probably because it's a scribe's oversight. In this case, where the mistake was a mistake that's not something that's like well known to all. Therefore, we can't ignore its absence and just ascribe it to a minor scribe's oversight. Rather, it's a significant type error, and therefore it's a severely lacking adrachta. Let's take a look at Rashi. Achrayas toy sofer hu. Shtar shein bo achrayas. A contract or a deed that doesn't have a guarantee in it. Goyvim inichosim mishubadim. In the case of a sale of property, the buyer, let's say, loses the property because some early creditor takes it away from him. So he has a lien on the other properties. And Rashi uses an example of a lova of a borrower of money. Shelo hilvizemois, a person wouldn't lend money ela b'achrayas shibud nechasav. If he wouldn't get a guarantee to get a lien on the borrower's properties, the lender wouldn't have lent the money. Fasofer ta, and the sofer simply made a mistake. Hochanami based in sivu l'sofer lichtav adrachta igenis, and this is what the Almona's thinking was, that the based in ordered the scribe to write a proper adrachta. V'uta the lokosav ishtemodano, and he made a mistake by leaving out the ishtemodano clause. The need for the written testimony that the court was aware that the properties to be assigned to the woman were of the deceased. Everyone knows, and here we want to emphasize that it's a toy sofer. It's an oversight that everyone would know how to do it. That you don't write an adrachta other than for the to enable her to collect properties of the deceased, of her deceased husband. So Rava said back, you can't say about this oversight, the Ishtemodana oversight, it's a case of everyone knows. And Rashi continues, Behol Rabba Bar Shilo Shitziva Lichtev Lech Adrachta To. He, the great rabbi, Rabba Bar Shilo, he made a mistake. The Sover Shitivim Nechosim Shilo. He thought that she's entitled to the nechosim of Reb Chiya Aricha himself. Now the Gemara elaborates. We go back to the Gemara where we underlined even Rabba Bar Shilo. He said even he made a mistake in this case. May Kora hu savor hani vahani didei. He initially thought that as far as Reb Chiya Aricha is concerned, the properties of his brother and his own properties both belong to the surviving brother Reb Chiya. Mali mehani, mali mehani. What difference does it make which property she is assigned? The lohi, and that type of calculation is not a correct way to look at things. Why? Zinnin de Ozla Umishabchalahu. She might go, she would go to the properties that the Beis Din assigned to her, that the court had assigned to her, and we'll say it, the incorrect property that the court assigned to her. And she will cultivate it and improve it. The Baila Mikasvi, the properties that belong to her actual husband, that will be left to erode. Mikasvi, let it go bad. In other words, the Reb Chiya himself isn't going to take care of those properties. Knowing in the back of his mind that the mistake will be revealed and that she'll have to return the properties that belong to me and in their stead take the brother's property. So I'm not going to cultivate her husband's on my brother's properties. The Omar law, the heir, in this case, Rabbi Aricha, will say to her, Shkil didoch v'havli didi. Listen, you take your husband's properties and give me back my properties. Those properties that in the meantime she cultivated. So what's she going to be getting then? She's going to be getting some eroded piece of property and having to return some nice cultivated property. V'osi lafuki laz al beidino. And that's going to create a bad reputation for the court. Meaning that look how the court deals with almonis in their correct legal claims, and they giving her rotten property. Therefore, we go one step ahead and say, dear lady, you're not entitled to the properties whatsoever until you actually take hold of them, and at that point that you're actually taking hold of your deceased husband's properties. Just to clarify, what the cause of the problem would be is that she, before actually taking full possession by virtue of her claim that it was just a court oversight and that I was assigned properties, she'll go to the properties that she was assigned, and which. Rabbi Bar Shilo originally thought it might very well have been Rabbi Chiya Aricha's own properties, and she'll see to it that the properties are cultivated because she's anticipating one day taking actual possession of it. And then at the end, she'll, when it comes to that day, she'll then say, then we'll tell her, oh, you know, you were cultivating Rabbi Chiya Aricha's properties, not the properties that you're entitled to, and the properties you're entitled to weren't cared for all along. And she'll end up getting eroded properties. And that, as we said, would cause a bad reputation to Beis Din. Therefore, we say that the lady has no rights to any properties, in this case where the adrafta was written incorrectly, until the day she actually takes hold of it. And therefore, she won't be involved in cultivating a wrongful property up till this point, thereby enabling us to preserve the dignity of court decisions. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.